Welcome to the Everything Podcast, the place for everything education. Whether you're a first-year teacher or a seasoned educator, our mission is to help you employ smart strategies in and out of the classroom.
We firmly believe that teacher burnout isn't inevitable. Part inspiration and part implementation, we discuss the why and how to make your classroom effective and sustainable.
We're your hosts, Danielle
and Nicole. Welcome back to another episode of the Everything Podcast. We're your hosts, Danielle and Nicole. Danielle, how's it going? Week seven.
Week seven. I cannot even believe it.
I'm having a tough time believing it as well. Oh my goodness.
I will say that I am really excited about some of the things I've got going on in my classroom right now.
Oh my gosh, me too. I feel like this time has given me a lot of time to reflect, of course, and it's given me a lot of time to reflect on some of the practices that I've grown so accustomed to that I simply just don't have the ability to do. We all know that we're missing that social interaction, we're missing that face-to-face, but even just the way that I interact with my students and some of the routines that I have with them as far as how I celebrate them and showcase what they do, it's been so challenging.
If you are regularly making pretty amazing lessons, I bet you kind of figured out how to do that online without too much problem. But when it comes to those things, like making sure that you can give that student a compliment on a particularly good assignment, not just feedback, but make sure that they kind of like notice you noticing the great work they're putting in, it's harder to replicate.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly how I'm feeling. And I didn't really anticipate that being as big of an issue as it has been for me personally. I just miss it. And I know that it's a gaping hole in my online classroom. So I'm looking forward to the solution that we have here today.
Yeah. So our topic today, we want to make sure that we're celebrating those wins. We're celebrating those student successes.
I think for me, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why I find this to be so valuable. And we're about to dive into four major reasons why showcasing student work is so very important. But I think that really is the biggest one for me. I think, you know, you do your best to offer to students all that you can, all the tools that you can to help them be successful. But once you have that moment when you look someone in the eyes and you acknowledge them for the work that they've done, the assignment that they've just completed, or maybe the performance that they just had in your classroom, whatever it might have been. It's just this moment you cannot replicate online. Right.
Yeah. So why showcase student work? First, because we're making sure that we're sending that message that we valued that hard work, that energy, that effort, sometimes that above and beyond or that uncharacteristic addition that a student made to that class that day, things like that.
Second, why? It makes students collaborators in the shared space. So much of what we're doing right now is extremely isolating. Teachers, students, we're all feeling it. But giving that chance to really see how we're all working towards the same goal, students may be experiencing similar frustrations together, or they're working towards that shared skill, or maybe even the next level of their learning, and showing that students really are collaborators, even when they feel like they are so far from that.
Yeah, when we take the time to display student work, often on a bulletin board, we're signaling to students that they have ownership over this space. Contributions are meaningful, and therefore we want to show them off. And if you think about what your digital classroom looks like, it's much harder to translate that onto the computer screen, right? If, like me, maybe you're in Google Classroom as the main method of communication with your students during remote learning, you're the one probably that made the banner at the top of your Google. You're the one that is making boosted announcements in stream. You're the one that's making the stuff that the students then consume. My students right now, my freshman student project, as we're coming to the end of our unit on the house on Mango Street. And in order to give students some guidance with the project, I developed a slide deck so that way they could have kind of a template to use. So that way they have a space for their exhibit, a space for the explanations and anything else that I'm looking for. And I got so many messages from students asking, can I like change the colors and stuff? Because they feel like they've been given something. Now they're not sure how to interact with it.
I definitely agree in regards to the way that you hold so much power in the virtual classroom that you've created, and any resource that you're posting, students are consuming and pushing back out to you. So there's not a whole lot of ownership over the resources. And I think that that kind of goes back to our third why, which is reinforcing that idea that the teacher isn't necessarily the only audience, right? It really is taking ownership over the project, the task that students are supposed to be doing, and recognizing that this, just like in during class time, this is for students to really run with and take on as their own. And I think that when you do have that very, very limited interaction one-on-one with students, and they feel like it's just a channel going back and forth to the teacher and there's no other interaction, I mean, how else would they feel? I completely understand it.
Yeah, I feel like as a teacher who teaches academic writing, research paper writing, I feel like this is one of those topics that writers are publishing these academic papers for peers. And I think that when we are able to showcase student work, to really show off what they're doing, it kind of takes that one step further, that it's not just for the teacher. See, truly, it is for all of these people to consume.
And for all of these people can even extend way, way outside of your classroom, as you mentioned, to others, maybe other stakeholders in your school, in your community, whether it's parents, teachers in completely other subject areas or schools. Giving others a glimpse into your classroom and what your students are working on is that fourth reason why we feel that showcasing student work is an absolute must during this time. It really is so important. And I think that it, again, gives that next dimension.
Without a doubt. I think that because there's only one person who gives them a grade, therefore, they're only making it for them. No, that could not be further from the truth.
Which leads us to this term bulletin board and kind of the purpose of it and what it really sort of stands for. Because it seems like that is kind of like the terminology that we use whenever we want to talk about displaying student work.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that it's the only way that we can show off what students are producing.
Yeah. Obviously, right now, at the time of this recording, we're all in this remote learning situation. There are no physical bulletin boards. And as a result, we have to think outside of the traditional bulletin board. But even when we return to normalcy, when we return to our buildings, maybe we don't just default to bulletin only method for showing off these works.
Yeah, to be honest, the more that we talk about it, the more it feels like this is kind of the next wave. It feels like this is the way to approach celebrating our students and having it live a little bit longer, and also continuing to make this a little bit fresher as we're able to change out things more easily. And I don't know about you, but I certainly dread this task, switching out the bulletin board, but I also tend to ask my students for help, which can make the process go even longer. So it's just something that I think overall, the idea of it and the value that it provides, I think is so crucial, but the actual task can be changed. It can be updated.
Absolutely. Reason number one that I too find myself procrastinating on updating my bulletin boards. Mike Anderson is a responsive classroom specialist, and he put together a really nice list of some important kind of reminders to keep in mind as you're doing your classroom bulletin boards in an article called Classroom Displays Keep the Focus on Student Work. And two of the suggestions that he has is that you should make sure that you're displaying drafts and works in progress, not just the final polished product. And he makes sure we have plenty of space between student work, so it's not like overly crowded. And that might mean that if you take both of those suggestions to heart, you're changing out those bulletin boards even more frequently than you had been.
I do love this. I think that providing a chance for students to see success at every stage mm-hmm. is something I personally don't think about enough.
Yeah, and me too.
There's so much power in that. I mean, just for students to see that as being worth celebrating.
The suggestion is great. I just feel like if we took it and used it to show off students in a different way, I'd probably be even more likely to implement.
And that kind of leads me to the next point here, mm-hmm. which is that bulletin boards aren't always the right fit for the assignment.
You're speaking to an English teacher. Oh, I
know. Of course. I was just about to say, you know, in your area, mm-hmm. it's all about the writing. Who wants to see a bunch of essays on the wall? For me, yeah. it's all about the writing. A lot of it is about the communication in whether it's a dialogue or putting together something that's representative of Spanish cultures. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a little bit more variety there. So I feel, you know, I do have that on my side, Danielle, but I can totally see how for you, it's got to be a little frustrating.
Sometimes I get these essays that I am like, wow, I am over the moon about what the student has produced. And I want to hang it up on the bulletin board. I want to display it because other people should read it. But first of all, who's going to walk over there and read those 3 pages before class? Nobody. Like it's not a good fit for that assignment, right? And I will tell you, one of the best creative projects that I've ever had a student submit, again, not a good fit for a bulletin board. At the end of the research paper unit, I have my students design some sort of teaching tool that another student, a peer, would find more engaging than learning how to do those tasks, whether they be MLA formatting, something related to grammar, these quote-unquote like traditionally boring tasks. How they could teach that, they need to make some sort of teaching tool that's creative. So sometimes I get like comic strips about it with like MLA Man. Those have been really cool.
And I think that it also really encourages kids to step it up and to continue to be creative, mm-hmm. right? If you're giving them a space to show it off. We work with high schoolers. They're all about flexing, right? They
yeah.
just show off
yes.
what they can do. And I think that it just continues to evolve and continues to push them outside of what they normally may have only seen as the only audience member being you, the teacher.
Yep. Not to mention, it's better for the environment. It's greener if you decide to go the virtual display route rather than a physical bulletin board for displaying. And I know for a fact that those traveling teachers like yourself might find it useful to find other outlets for student work.
Absolutely. I spoke about this in episode 50, all about being a traveling teacher, moving to different classrooms throughout the day. And I tried to create something along these lines of showing off student work when I didn't necessarily have a space, physical space mm-hmm. to do so during my school day. And I think that this just continues to build on different layers and layers of why this really is so super valuable and continue to be used even when we go back.
And while I think bulletin boards are great for letting students see that it's not just an audience of one, and it allows them to see what their peers are working on, maybe even peers in other classes, at the end of the day, bulletin boards are still kind of a limited audience, right? We don't have parents who will necessarily see them if it's at a time in the school year when parents aren't coming in for back to school night or conferences. Even people who just are in a different school.
We have all these reasons why we built it up. Yep. We know that this is so valuable. And as we've mentioned a few times, this can continue to bring value even when we do go back
yep.
to our classrooms, yep. hopefully soon. And I think that now that we have that why down pat, we've got to figure out how to make this work.
Which is in some cases a little trickier than you would expect.
Yes, I'll say. So we do have a few how-tos mm-hmm. for you. And as we mentioned, it is a little bit more challenging than we had hoped.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about us, you know that we're always trying to find a hack, mm-hmm. a trick, some way to fix this problem. And we are a little bit of perfectionists.
Yes.
So the fact that we can't make this as pretty and perfect as we would ideally like it to be doesn't mean that we can't find value yeah. here. So the very first way to display work without a traditional bulletin board is to, number one, embed the show-off portion directly into the project class routine itself. Yes. So when you think about the way that you have a certain routine or schedule for your classes, perhaps you want to consider setting aside a certain task on your list for that student showcase or student spotlight as a part of your Friday checklist, or even the way that maybe you have a weekly goal. I think that having that as something for students to look forward to mm-hmm. and for you to acknowledge on a regular basis will also have a similar effect.
And you could go one step further with that. And if you know you're going to assign a particular project, for example, maybe you decide you're going to allow students to view other submissions. So I would think of something like Flipgrid, for example. It's designed for students to actually view what others have produced. So if you are totally on board, you want to make sure that you're showing off what your students are doing, I would say start even at that assignment routine project level. If you're thinking about making sure that you have the ability to do that, pick the technology that works for that task, right? So Flipgrid would make a whole lot of sense. Maybe you're already using Classroom Dojo for like class management purposes. I'm pretty sure you can loop parents in directly from there and show off some student work. So again, it's a matter of making this more routine, celebrating those student successes.
And a quick note, the Google Classroom feature allows you to add parents as well. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to sharing any of that, even the comments that you're making privately to your students, even just looping in parents on that can also bring that just one step further.
Speaking of looping in parents, maybe you are one of those teachers that regularly sends out a like classroom newsletter. Why not include a space for showing off student work directly in that newsletter rather than just having a newsletter that kind of says, this week we will be working on blank.
Love it. I think that we have a little something cooking in the TPT store.
I think you might be right. you know that we are all about templates and making your lives as easy as possible. So make sure you check it out.
Definitely. So, of course, looping in parents, mm-hmm. guardians, yep. but even showing it off to the greater community using social media. Mm-hmm. So I think it's safe to say that most schools have some type of official social media mm-hmm. accounts that they regularly post to for updates. And this could potentially get to both parents and students to see the great work at the same time. So perhaps it's something that your school is already doing, but you have always kind of questioned, maybe I can share what's going on in my room. And now feels like the perfect time to take that leap and to show off what your students are doing. I know that it really does go a long way, and students love to see that their thing, mm-hmm. their stuff is being recognized. They love to see their faces, even though they pretend right. that they don't. They do love that little highlight.
It's so true. And I feel like on social media right now, a lot of parents are taking it into their own hands because, you know, an upcoming art show or something was canceled, for example. So they're taking a picture of their kid holding their work of art, things like that. But I think that a lot of the official school accounts would love to be doing the same thing. They'd love to kind of show off what comes out of remote learning for those that have no idea what is going on in our classrooms regularly right now. And it kind of allows for us to give another kind of like place to show that positivity. I feel like a lot of what schools have to put out right now is letters saying that things are being canceled, right? A lot of the like end of the year wrap up events showing off the work that students are doing for your class. This is kind of like a bright spot in all of that.
When we think about our many mm-hmm. whys of why we believe this is so important, one of the big ones is to reinforce the idea that the teacher isn't the yeah. only audience. And I think that the social media plays a large part in that. But I think also continuing to challenge your students and push them to see that being a student is a wonderful role yeah. to be in. And by getting their work in front of the eyes of the judges, whoever those judges might be, is yet another way to reinforce that idea that they want to create things that they are truly proud yeah. of.
This one from the NEA, they published an article called Showcasing Student Work. And one of the outside of the box ways, there are so many different contests that students could be getting involved in. And depending on what type of contest, might even come with a little bit of a scholarship opportunity or something of that nature.
Which leads us to our last how of the bulletin board replication or digital bulletin mm-hmm. board. And it is all about digitizing your bulletin board and showing it off in all of the places. So Danielle, I know you have a new favorite person that you have been shouting out, and we certainly want to give her another shout out on this episode.
So right after last episode came out, and we had given a shout out to Shayna of Hello Teacher Lady, she actually came up with yet another really amazing tutorial. And therefore, we need to make sure that everyone checks it out. So last time we talked about Shayna, we said that she was explaining how you can use Bitmojis to give your classroom a little bit of personality. This time, she has gone one step further, and she has a really easy to follow tutorial on how to customize the entire look of your space for either your like Zoom waiting room or Google header, something of that nature. So her example is adorable. And it shows how she makes the layout for everything surrounding her Bitmoji. So she has this like really nice white brick wall in the background. She has a series of posters that she loves. She really like goes out of her way to make sure that she's setting the right vibe for her class's office hours in her tutorial. But that made us think, what if we replaced those posters with a newly created bulletin board of your students' work? How cool!
It has so many layers and layers and layers. I love it.
And the reason that we wanted to build on this, first of all, the tutorial is great and you can follow it exactly as she's laid it out. But we wanted to make sure that we came up with some type of way to actually like replicate bulletin boards online. And that is actually a really hard task, as we've learned. So as we went about trying to do this, we've run into a few, let's call them quirks that Google Classroom has.
That's putting it very yeah. generously.
So Google, if you're listening, first, everyone would really love a pin to top feature in Google Classroom for the stream.
Move to the top. It is not enough.
And I think every educator who using Google Classroom for remote learning agrees.
Oh my gosh, I completely agree. That's it. That's a huge one. Pin to the top. And that was essentially what we were trying to create in our many discussions yeah. with this, Danielle, is like, how do yep. we create something that really exists yep. as a banner? So we do have a couple of chances to make this a little bit more personal. Last week, we talked about how to infuse what Hello Teacher Lady has taught us all about with Bitmojis and changing our Google Classroom page as a little bit more of a personalized mm-hmm. space for students, and the value that that brings, how helpful it can be for students to kind of differentiate the classes that they have. And when it comes to actually posting something on Google Classroom or whatever your virtual classroom space is, it can be challenging because you really can't make something so permanent. So with that in mind, we did our best to create another template for you, another product that exists in our TPT store that allows you to really, as we mentioned, demonstrate and show off your students' work. So with that, you can feel free to post in, as Shayna recommends, the waiting room of your Zoom, or maybe even in your daily announcements that you have on your virtual classroom. But having that as a way to remind students of just how personal your space is so important. And I love this little note that you have here, Danielle, about how we can relate this back to what we know about social media marketing. And I just think it's genius.
So we had said at the top of this final point that we want to make sure that we're showing this off in all the places. So if we're thinking about what we know about being a teacherpreneur, a teacher influencer, whatever you may be, we've heard time and time again that you want to create one piece of content and use it in multiple places, because if you're being honest, you are probably reaching different audiences when you post to Instagram versus those who follow you on your podcast, read your blog, whatever it may be. And often people will kind of resist that idea. I don't want to bother anybody by posting about it in all of those places. No one is bothered. In fact, it's really good practice to make sure that you're making once and making sure that you are all of those different people by using the various outlets. The same applies, right? Just because you made this super cute bulletin board that you have in the background in your waiting room, post it in Stream and in your class newsletter and on the LMS you guys were using before Google Classroom, post it in all of the places so that way you're reaching all of the students and all of the parents, all of those people who might have missed it the first time around. Plus, the students are definitely not going to be upset if they see their work again.
So true. And I love this connection that we were able to make from what we know as being teacherpreneurs, as being teacher side hustlers. And it's a nice little reminder that May is upon us. And we know that for those that are working from home, continuing with our side hustle, all about that social media planning and scheduling is likely top of mind for you, especially as this new month approaches. And it's just a nice reminder that we have a little something in our TPT store just for you. It's called Everything Social. And we've spoken about it a few times before, but just to give you a quick refresh, it's something that Danielle and I have created specifically for that teacherpreneur who's looking for yet again, another hack, another trick to get them through what can be a really overwhelming task of planning social media, planning emails, getting things ready for the many different places that you're likely posting things, as we've just mentioned a few moments ago. And in this Everything Social May edition, you'll find 20 teacher-oriented images, stock images, if you will. You'll find more than 20 captions, some related to the specific celebrations, holidays, events in May, and others related to kind of plug and play any day of the week in May, and super specific for those teachers in quarantine. Of course, we have to shout that out. And then we have our two email templates available as well. So all of that is in our TPT store, and we're just really excited to continue sharing about it. And we really hope that you take advantage as we're all doing our best to really use all of the tools that we know of and be as organized as possible.
Without a doubt. All in one place.
All right, Danielle. And I actually can't wait to try this out on my Google Classroom, and I'll have to keep you guys posted.
If you'd like to learn more about us and the services that we offer, head to everything.com.